listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Matthew Heise, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Pastor Heise, welcome to His Time.
Good morning, Andy. Good to be with you.
It's such a joy and a delight to have some time to talk with you today and share stories about what's going on with Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and particularly those that LHF serves around the world. And you've recently had a trip to, a number of trips, but most recently a trip to see what's going on with this, with the work of Lutheran Heritage Foundation and those that LHF serves.
Yes, my most recent trip was to Africa. We have an LHF Africa board that has an annual meeting in April, usually right after Easter. So I have committed to trying to get there every year, because going there, I can at least share with them the work that we're doing around the world. Because sometimes I think it's important to let other countries and continents know that we're not focused solely on them. Because sometimes they'll ask for certain resources and we'll say, remember, we're working in 85, 86 some countries around the world. So it's good for them to know. But it's also good for us, because we have the opportunity to learn more about the challenges and opportunities that are facing the African continent today.
What is the work of LHF in Africa and in other places, or other parts around the world, for our listeners not familiar with Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Lutheran Heritage Foundation was founded 24 years ago by Robert Ron in Michigan, and the goal was to translate, publish, distribute, and introduce books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Naturally, if you think back to about 24 years ago, that was just about the time the Soviet Union had disintegrated back in 1991. And so about a year later, we were able to get in there and begin to do work. The excitement was great. I know, because I went over in 1994 as a volunteer teacher for Lutheran World Mission, for our overseas mission organization. And so the desire was great at that time to finally bring the gospel, as people thought, you know, bring the gospel back to Russia. I mean, the gospel had been there underground, but of course had been, the Bibles had been destroyed, seminaries and churches and pastors had been executed. So it had gone through a period of suffering. And so that was our initial focus. But soon we found that Russia wasn't the only country that needs good, solid teaching. And we found others, including in Africa. First in Sudan, the late Andrew Elisa was one of our first contacts there in the 1990s, who, through reading Luther's catechism, discovered that he was Lutheran. He agreed with everything. He said, that's what I believe. I can't tell you, Andy, how many times I heard that from people in the former Soviet Union who had been seeking and looking for faith. And when they read the catechism, when they had it in their language, they would say, that's what I believe. And always the interesting end to that sentence, because that's what's in the Bible. So I would hear that often too. And so God has blessed it. We are now in 85, 86 countries around the world, working in 91 languages at present.
Tell me about some of the materials that have been translated into the languages of the people.
Okay, I guess you could probably say what we will try to do at Lutheran Heritage Foundation is we will try to translate books that are good for children, for teens, adults, and seminary students. So, I mean, you can think of three books right off the bat, perhaps. A Child's Garden of Bible Stories is really good for children as they learn about the Bible, learn about what Jesus has done for them. And you move into Luther's catechism for those in their teens and those who are adults to understand what that Christian faith really is all about. And for seminary students, the Book of Concord comes in handy. Of course, this is not exclusively. Mm-hmm. I have a former student of mine, Mikhail Ivanov, who teaches his parishioners. He gets 25 to 30 people on a Thursday night in St. Petersburg reading the Book of Concord. These are laymen. Lay men and lay women who are interested and excited and reading the Book of Concord. But primarily, this is for seminary students to learn more about the faith and to be able to explain and defend the faith. So those are just some of the books we do.
So children's books, catechisms, the Book of Concord, all kinds of
over 700 resources. Titles. I only mentioned three, so we won't go any more than that.
We don't have time to list all 700, do we?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so it takes a lot of work to produce these resources as well. Give me an idea. Walk me through the process of preparing something like a catechism or the children's, some of the children's books for a people group?
Well, of course, you start with a translation. You try to find someone, especially now, if you're going to get to children's Bible storybooks, perhaps somebody who's taught children, who knows how to explain things more simply, but clearly and concisely to children. So you find that translator, but it is not just the task of one individual who translates a book and then leaves it at that. At times, there are teams translating books. For example, I saw the Ethiopians translating The Hammer of God, Bo Geertz's story of faith there, originally in Swedish. And of course, they were translating the English into Amharic, the language of Ethiopia. And there was a team on that, trying to work through that. But generally, you might have one translator. But after that comes the editing process, where you get completely different eyes and different backgrounds, and people will look at that text and make sure that that is clear and that is properly taught. So, I mean, you will also have a theological consultant. A good example is Hugo Gievers, a pastor and missionary in East Germany. And Hugo is overseeing our Farsi Catechism. I haven't mentioned this. It's completed. We're now in editing. So I am hoping sometime, hopefully by the fall, we will be printing that Farsi Catechism for those many believers of Iranian background in Germany. And Hugo had looked at the translation. He saw something from his Farsi that wasn't quite right. It sounded as though they were translating Holy Communion as more or less a memorial, as a remembrance, but not as the actual body and blood of the Lord. And he said, well, that's wrong. And his translator came back with a good rational explanation, thinking as a rationalist. He grew up in Iran. I mean, he certainly wouldn't think as a Lutheran theologian. He said, but that doesn't make sense. And of course, Hugo came back with the line, said, guess what? It doesn't make sense to us either. It doesn't make sense rationally, but we take God's word as it is written. And Jesus said, this is my body and blood. And the light bulb went on. The Holy Spirit light bulb went on in his head. And he says, oh, I get it now. I get it that I'm not supposed to really get all of it, in other words. And so, I mean, that's an example then of always double checking and making sure that what you are translating is proper. Now, we'll be honest, as you translate things, you find mistakes eventually. And as we reprint, before we reprint books, we will go back over and say, okay, let's look at that. Let's get another editor to look at these things. And they may find some errors, and they'll usually not doctrinal. It's more or less, I mean, they're not really doctrinal. They're more or less grammatical, but something that might not explain things clearly. And so there will be some editing that goes on again for the next reprint.
So you work with local people who know the language. You work with someone local, as you said, when working with a children's book, you want to work with someone who understands children, someone who understands the culture as well when you're translating.
And you work with somebody within the church too, of course, somebody who would understand Lutheran theology. I use the Iranian example because, well, quite frankly, there's no Lutheran church in Iran, and certainly Lutheranism has really not been part of the history of the Iranian people. So, I mean, you're working with a person who's a Christian, and so you do have to have a little bit more oversight there, theologically speaking.
Well, thanks be to God for these resources being provided, especially for the large number of people now who are asking for these resources.
Exactly.
Tell me about the demand, the requests for these resources.
Well, we have an info box, which, as I mentioned, I think to you previously, it's as if it was your own individual email box, you would probably throw half these out. You would think, this can't be right. Is somebody trying to get me to send money to a Nigerian bank account? And I'm using an example, but many of these requests coming from northern Sweden, we've got Iraqis coming into our church. Do you have anything in Arabic? And you think, really? In northern Sweden, you have Iraqis coming into your congregation? Yes, they do. We are getting more requests from Norway, Denmark, Finland, and Sweden for those of Arabic-speaking background, Syrian and Iraqi, of those of Iranian background, Farsi, and those of Afghan background, Dari. In fact, just a few days ago, I got a request from the old rector at the Lutheran seminary I taught at in Russia. He's now retired. He's a Finn. He's back there. And he said, we had some Afghans come in our church on Sunday. Do you have anything in Dari? And I said, yes, we do. And I know just the Lutheran pastor in Finland who can get you that book. Because he's working now on extending that book for us, the Dari Book of Prayer and Catechism. So, I mean, these are just some of just an example of some of the requests. That's overseas. Within the country itself here, we get requests from all these different people groups. I mean, you find that there are Ethiopians in California, Nebraska, Tennessee, Virginia. You find that are Sudanese throughout most of the area of the United States. And we get requests for a lot of these books within our own borders.
Wow. So I'm sure that that they're greatly appreciated as well by those who've made those requests.
Yes, they are. And certainly, you know, this is why we try to make sure that people know who we are and get our name out there, because so often there is, imagine if you're a pastor in a parish in North Dakota and somebody comes to you and said, I'm Sudanese, do you have anything in my language group? And help, where do I start?
You start with LHF missions.
Well, and that's why, you know, we have to be very clear as to what we are and what we do, as I explained earlier, because I had this lovely lady once just try and convince me that we had a museum somewhere in Southern Illinois. But it makes sense. Lutheran Heritage, it sounds like that might be a museum. And I had to check. I had just started 2 years ago. I had to check our budget and make sure, do we have a museum that we're, it's on the books here? No, we don't have a museum. So, no, we are indeed reprinting the living word and not a museum piece.
So reprinting the word and resources to help us, to help people around the world study the word, learn about Jesus in their own language.
Yes.
And that is a certainly a noble task indeed. And it takes a lot of people to do this, partners in various churches around the world. We talked about translators, but others to help distribute the books. You mentioned here in the country there are others, and I think in Finland, was it, or somewhere, you said I know the pastor that can help get you that book as well.
Yeah. I mean, certain places. Yeah. We'll have books. For example, our friend Mohammed Gurhan is really a Somali resource for Somalis coming to faith around the globe, not only in Africa, but he has a place where he keeps books in the Netherlands, because many Somalis have fled to Europe, as he did, because of threats on his life for becoming Christian. So we have resources there in the Netherlands that we can ship out. So yeah, books are kept at various places. The Lutheran Hour has been really helpful. We have, I just met with Doug Rutt and Eric Gates the other day, and we really like to share information and just say, what are you seeing in your neck of the woods? What can we do to help each other out? And Lutheran Hour, for example, has been very helpful for us with regards to our Spanish language Bible catechism. They have their mission centers, which we don't have, in South America. And so they will help us by keeping those books and Bibles at their mission centers, and they use them. Doug Grutt was just telling me the other day, he says, you know, look at a lot of the mission pictures from South America, and you see that Spanish Bible there, catechism, everywhere you go. And I think it's important, because as one woman told me, she said, you know, I had a person who had read through the Bible there, and the catechism was in the front. And then she said, I want to ask a question. Who is this Lutero guy? And so she had the opportunity. She's a deaconess. It's Luz Guerrero from Concordia St. Paul up there. And Luz had the opportunity to say, let me tell you who this Lutero guy is. So it was a wonderful, once again, a wonderful witness through those books. And we have people who work with us like Lutheran Hour, for which we're very grateful.
How can we find out more? What are the needs of Lutheran Heritage Foundation?
Well, you can go to our website, which is www.lhfmissions.org. And we also have online giving. So people who want to support a particular project or just give a general gift can actually donate online there. So if you go to our website, you'll see that opportunity there. You'll see the books that we have. You'll see all the children's projects that we have pretty much over the last 10 years or so. So if you still wanted to give to Ukrainian Children's Project, which we did many years ago, or to this year's current Papua New Guinea, you can do that. That's all on the website. And we also work hand in glove with Wallace and Kathy Schultz of Good News Journal. So we have a listing of their Good News Journals up on our website, and also the various languages in which they are. So you can find out more about that and how to contact Wallace and Kathy too for those things.
The Reverend Matthew Heisey, Executive Director of Lutheran Heritage Foundation, thanks for being my guest this morning.
Thanks for having me.